You are listening to the Living Hope International Ministries Weekly Bible Teaching Podcast. For more information, visit us online at lhim.org.
We're going to continue on as we've been doing, but even though we're in the part, we're still going to continue on in our study of lessons from Isaiah. And today we're going to look at the great deliverance that is recorded in Isaiah. And really, this, I think, is less known than some of the great miraculous things that happened in the Bible. You know, everybody knows about Moses crossing the Red Sea and Daniel in the lion's den and a lot of those. But this, what happened here, it's recorded in the book of Isaiah, and it's also recorded in Kings. It's all written down and recorded for us by the prophet Isaiah. Is really an amazing record. And so we're going to pick this up in Isaiah 36, and then we'll get a little background, and we'll get into this on this record in Isaiah here. Isaiah 36:1 says, "Now, in the 14th year of King Hezekiah, Sennacherib, king of Assyria, came up against all the fortified cities of Judah and seized them." So here in the 14th year of King Hezekiah, it says that the king of Assyria under King Sennacherib came and they captured all the fortified cities of Judah, and they were coming up to Jerusalem. Now, this is in the 14th year of Hezekiah. So now, we're going to do a little math. I thought with the children here in Children's Fellowship, maybe some of them would be able to help me with this math. Because we've been talking about how long Isaiah prophesied for, so I just want to show you with simple math how you can figure this out. We know from when Reverend Finnegan shared a few weeks ago from chapter 1 that Isaiah, in verse 1 of Isaiah, that he reigned, that he prophesied during the reigns of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah. And then also in that same teaching, we looked at Isaiah 6. And do you remember how that verse started out? That Isaiah, that's when his ministry started, that's when he started to receive the revelation. It was in the year that Uzziah died. All right? So we'll say King Uzziah. Uzziah. We'll give that 1 year for Isaiah. Got it? Then the king that followed Uzziah is Jotham. Jotham. King Jotham. And we can read in 2 Kings 15:32-33 that Jotham reigned for 16 years. So that's 16 years of Jotham. You follow me? This is really deep stuff. Real theological here, okay? The king that followed Jotham is Ahaz. Ahaz. This is Ahaz. And according to 2 Kings 16:1-2, Ahaz reigned for 16 years. Got it? Then the king that followed Ahaz is Hezekiah. Hezekiah, that's who we're reading about here in Hezekiah. Hezekiah. Here we just read that this event took place in the 14th year of King Hezekiah. 14. Got it? So, Isaiah began his ministry in the year that Uzziah died. And here in chapter 36, we are in the 14th year of Hezekiah. Okay, you mathematicians. How many years so far has Isaiah's ministry been?
47.
47 years, right? You do 7, 3, 7, you carry the 1. 47. So we know the very minimum that Isaiah prophesied was 47 years. Now Hezekiah reigned another 15 years. He reigned for 29 years. There are some beliefs that Hezekiah's son Manasseh actually had Isaiah killed. I don't know if that's true or not. What we do know is that he reigned for at least 40. His ministry lasted at least until this record that we are reading here. Okay? So, a lot changed in the world during this time period when Isaiah's ministry was that we've been studying. A lot of things happened. The geopolitical map changed dramatically during these 47 years in history. When Isaiah began his ministry, Assyria was not the dominating world power that it had become by this 14th year of Hezekiah. A lot of things happened here. The northern kingdom of Israel was still a nation, and it was a sovereign nation with Samaria as its capital city. There is one king in these line of kings here that really did real evil, that really affected a lot about what Sean shared last week, why they were in the situation they were in with the sin they committed, with what Sean shared last week. And that king is Ahaz. Ahaz. You know, when you like to read, it says, Jotham reigned 16 years, and he was a good king, right? Hezekiah reigned 29 years, and he was a good king. It says about Ahaz reigned 16 years, and he was a bad king, is what the scriptures say about Ahaz. I want to show you a little bit about Ahaz. Look at 2 Kings, just so you kind of understand why Israel, Jerusalem and Judah came to find itself in the situation it was in here in the 36th chapter of Isaiah. In 2 Kings, and in verse 16, I mean 2 Kings 16, I'm sorry, 2 Kings 16, verse 2. It says, Ahaz was 20 years old when he became king, and he reigned 16 years in Jerusalem. He did not do what was right in the sight of Yahweh his God, as his father David had done, but he walked in the ways of the kings of Israel, and even made his son pass through the fire according to the abominations of the nations whom Yahweh had driven out from before the sons of Israel. He sacrificed and burned incense on the high places and on the hills and under every green tree. That sacrificing and burning incense is idolatrous practice. And you know what it means here? That it says that he made his son pass through the fire? Sean shared about this last week. It was that they offered their children as a sacrifice. They killed them in honor of the god Molech in the Valley of Hinnom. It was the place that they usually did it at. But they killed their children. That's what they burnt their children in worshiping other gods. Ahaz was not a good man. He was not good. Look at what it records of him in 2 Chronicles. You're in 2 Kings. You got 1 Chronicles, 2 Chronicles chapter 28. 2 Chronicles 28. Second Chronicles 28, verse 16. It says, and at that time, King Ahaz sent to the kings of Assyria for help. Now, I want to pause there a second to get you to understand. This is actually recorded in Isaiah chapter 7, which we're not covering that, but I'm briefly going to explain what happens here. And I'm going to do that by showing you a map, which I blew up from my from my notes from the Isaiah class and had it printed at Staples. Oh, yeah.
Good job.
And I got to share with the lady at Staples about the Assyrian. Anyways, here we go. Now, this right here, this is Assyria. This is Egypt down here. You got Arabia over here. This is Aram or Syria. Syria and Assyria are two different nations. Assyria, this is Syria. And then you see this green and this yellow. This is Jerusalem. This is Judah. And the yellow is the nation of Israel, the northern kingdom. They were split kingdoms when Isaiah started to prophesy. Syria was a nation. This was Assyria. This was the political layout when the year Uzziah died, when Isaiah began prophesying. What happens here, Ahaz is king of Judah. In chapter 7, the king of Syria and Israel, the northern kingdom, these two kings are going to come up against Ahaz. That's what chapter 7 is about. They're going to come up against him. And Isaiah the prophet goes to Ahaz and says, don't worry about these kings. They're going to be gone in 65 years. Don't worry about them. And he gives them a sign of the virgin. And in this whole thing that he talks about. And Ahaz's like, I don't need a sign. You know, acting all egotistical. And then what Ahaz did, rather than trusting the words of Isaiah, where he said, don't be afraid, rather than doing that, you know what Ahaz did? He took money out of the temple, out of God's house, and he paid the king of Assyria to help him to defeat these two kingdoms. It didn't work out really well. And that's what we're talking about here in 2 Chronicles. At that time, King Ahaz sent to the king of Assyria for help. For again, the Edomites had taken away Judah, carried them captive. The Philistines had invaded the cities. Verse 19, for Yahweh humbled Judah because of Ahaz, king of Israel, for he brought about a lack of restraint in Judah and was very unfaithful to the Lord. So Tilgath-Pilneser, king of Assyria, came against him and afflicted him instead of strengthening him. Although Ahaz took a portion out of the house of Yahweh and out of the place of the king and gave it to the king of Assyria, it did not help him. Now in the time of his distress, King Ahaz became more unfaithful to the Lord, and then he puts up false gods in the temple area, closes the door of the temple, and it didn't go well. As a matter of fact, the Assyrian Empire, after this, grew to its greatness of the great Assyrian Empire in history. 47 years later, because God was going to pass judgment on Ahaz and what he had did, the nation of Assyria looked like this. It took over the Middle East. It took over everything. I don't know if you can see that little green circle. That's Jerusalem. That's where we are in Isaiah 36. So, it doesn't look really good for Hezekiah. You know what I mean? This is the great Assyrian Empire. And when we get here to Isaiah 36, now you can just read this and start to understand. Rather than trusting in Yahweh, he relied on the king of Assyria for help. The Assyrian Empire rose to greatness during this time, defeating many nations, including northern Israel and Syria. Only one thing remaining for the nation of Israel was the city of Jerusalem. and King Hezekiah and the remnant of the people that were still alive in the city. All the other fortified cities had been taken. I want to read to you a couple things from archaeological finds. One thing is there was a rock carving that they found in the area of the Assyrian Empire. It mentions here that they had taken the city of Lachish. And there is an actual depiction of this on the walls that they found. And this is actually in the British Museum in London. And this, in Jerusalem Post, Alan Rabinowitz wrote the following about the Assyrian Empire. Assyrians' rulers glorified war. They developed specialized corps, cavalry, sappers, combat engineers, snipers, aquatic units, and modernized their weapons with strategies. They had a navy. They had an army. They had a marine corps. And I imagine if they would have learned to fly by then, they would have had an air force. They were like the U.S. is in military strength today, but there was nobody on earth that compared to their military strength. They had nobody to compete with. That's this. The Assyrians surmounted the town's defenses, and as they did, according to Sennacherib's own account, 45 other Judean towns had been destroyed. Inside Lachish walls, though the site is undeveloped and only partially excavated, there is evidence of fierce burning at the level of the Assyrian invasion. Arrowheads, sling stones, and a crest of an Assyrian helmet offers only hints of the tumult and destruction highlighted in the Assyrian frieze. Another item that was discovered is called the prism. It's this stone thing with Assyrian writing. It's called the prism of Sennacherib. This is Sennacherib's own words about what he thought of the situation that we are about to read about. This is from the Sennacherib, the historical archaeological find of Sennacherib's prism. Sennacherib's words. Because Hezekiah, king of Judah, would not submit to my yoke, I came up against him, and by force of arms and by the might of power, I took 46 of his strong fenced cities, and of the smaller towns which were scattered about, I took and plundered a countless number. From these places I carried off 200,000 persons, old and young, male and female together, with horses and mules, asses and camels, oxen and sheep, a countless multitude, and Hezekiah himself. I shut him up in Jerusalem. His capital city, like a bird in a cage, building towers around the city to hem him in and raising banks of earth against the gate so as to prevent escape. Those are the words of Sennacherib, of what his opinion and his assessment of the situation was. That's where we are in Isaiah 36. And the king of Assyria sent Rabshakeh. I don't know if it's a general or if he's just a messenger. And he stood in the conduit of the upper pool on the highway of the fuller's field. Then Eliakim, son of Hilkiah, who was over the house, and Shebna. The house of Shebna, the scribe, and Joab, the son of Asaph, the recorder, came out to him. Then Rabshakeh said to them, "Say now to Hezekiah, thus says the great king of Assyria, what is the confidence that you have? I say your counsel and strength of war are only empty words. Now on whom do you rely that you have rebelled against me? Behold, you rely on the staff of this crushed reed, even on Egypt, which means a man leans, it will go into his hand and pierce it. So is Pharaoh, king of Egypt. But if you say to me, we trust on Yahweh our God, is it not he whose high places King Hezekiah has taken away? You shall worship before this altar. Now therefore, come and make a bargain with the master of the king of Assyria. and I will give you 2,000 horses, and if you are able on your part to set riders on them. How then can you repulse one official of the least of my master's servants and rely on Egypt? Have I now come, verse 10, up without the Lord's approval against the land to destroy it? The Lord said to me, go up and destroy the land and destroy it. God had said that he was going to use the Assyrians to give his penalty upon the sins of King Ahaz. He said, didn't Yahweh tell me I'm supposed to be doing this? Then Eliakim and Shebna and Joash said to Rabshakeh, speak now to your servants in Aramaic, for we understand it, but don't speak to us in Judean and hearing the people who are on the wall. See, they spoke Aramaic. The people in Jerusalem spoke Hebrew. And he was speaking in Hebrew so that the people in the city could hear. And they said, don't talk in Hebrew because then the people will hear. And Rabshakeh is like, yeah, I want them to hear. I want them to hear their fate. Then Rabshakeh stood and cried with a loud voice in Judean. He spoke in Hebrew and said, hear the words of the great king of Assyria. Thus says to the king, don't let Hezekiah deceive you. He will not be able to deliver you. And let Hezekiah make you trust in Yahweh, saying Yahweh will surely give into the city. Do not listen to Hezekiah. For thus says the king of Assyria, make your peace with me and come out to me and eat each of his vine, each of his fig tree, drink each and come and take away the land like your own, a land of grain and wine. Beware that Hezekiah does not mislead you, saying Yahweh will deliver us. Has any one of the gods of the nations delivered the land from the hand of the king of Assyria? Verse 21, but they were silent and answered not a word, for the king said, do not answer them. This is isn't this like a propaganda campaign? Didn't the Nazis do this? Before their blitzkrieg came in, didn't they drop stuff? Like with letters saying, give up, you know, save your life. Just give up and it'll be better for you than if you stand and fight against us, because we're going to beat you. That's basically what he's doing. It's like, look, just give up, come over. You'll take you to Syria, you've got lands, you'll be fine there. But you stay here and you listen to Hezekiah. So they're putting this propaganda on the people. So now, what do you do? What do you do if you're King Hezekiah? Because it's not just your life. It's the life of your people. It's not just your life. It's the nation of Israel. It's not just your life. It's the temple of God. So this is the situation that King Hezekiah finds himself in. Verse 37, and when King Hezekiah heard it, he tore his clothes, covered himself with sackcloth, and entered the house of the Lord. That's one of the things Sean mentioned last week, that they weren't doing. They weren't repenting. They weren't mourning their sin. Hezekiah did. That's a sign of mourning. That's a sign of repentance. And he went into the house of the Lord, and he sent Eliakim, who were over the house with Shebna the scribe and the elders and the priests, covered with sackcloth, to Isaiah the prophet, the sons of Amos, and they said to him, thus says Hezekiah, this is a day of distress, rebuke, rejection, for the children have come to birth, and there's no strength to deliver. Women who've gone through a pregnancy, can you imagine feeling that way, that you're at the point of giving birth at that intense time of pregnancy, and you can't deliver. That's how the guy's like, that's how I feel. We have all this persecution and we cannot do this. Perhaps Yahweh your God will hear the words of Rabshakeh with his master, the king of Assyria, and will rebuke the words. Therefore offer a prayer for the remnant that is left. So what's the first thing Hezekiah, these are great principles to learn. First thing he did, he confessed, he repented, and he mourned his own sin and the sins of the people. And then he offered a prayer, he went to prayer, and he went to a man, to Isaiah, as someone who he respected that could pray for him, a prophet. Verse 5, so the servants of King Hezekiah came to Isaiah. Isaiah said to them, here's the word of Yahweh. Thus says Yahweh. Do not be afraid because of the words that you have heard with which the servants of the king of Assyria has blasphemed me. Behold, I will put a spirit in him so that he will hear a rumor and return to his own land, and I will make him fall by the sword in his own land. He said the same thing to Ahaz when Ahaz was scared. He said, don't be afraid. Ahaz didn't have anything on Hezekiah for being afraid. He said, don't be afraid. It's going to be all right. And then you'll see that Rabshakeh puts this in a letter. And the last part of this letter that gets sent to Hezekiah, it says in verse 10, thus shall you say to Hezekiah, king of Judah, do not let your God in whom you trust deceive you. How about that for a second? Don't let the God whom you trust deceive you. You know, we're talking about God. And they're saying to Hezekiah, don't let God deceive you. You ever see a promise in the Word of God to you? Is God deceiving you? Is He playing games with you? You understand? Yeah. He said, don't let God deceive you. Jerusalem will not be given into the hand of the king of Assyria. Behold, you have heard what the kings of Assyria have done to the lands, destroying them completely. So will you be spared? Did the gods of those nations which my fathers have destroyed deliver them? Gozan, Haram, Reshef, the sons of Eden who were in Telasi. Where is the kings of Hamath, the kings of Arphad, the kings of the city of Seraphim, Hena, and Hivna? Where are all these other nations? None of them lasted. None of their gods lasted. Why do you think you're any different, Hezekiah? Just give up. So he puts this to him in a letter. I love this. Verse 34. Then Hezekiah took the letter from the hand of the messenger and read it. And he went up to the house of Yahweh and he spread it out before Yahweh. He went into the temple. He took this letter from these words of the king Sennacherib. He went to the temple of God and he laid it out before God. Sometimes in your life, that's what you got to do. You lay it out before the Lord, before His presence. You lay it out before Him. You don't talk to everybody else about it unless they're going to give you sound advice. You go to God and you lay it out before Him. He lays out this letter before God. And Hezekiah prayed. Prayer is a good thing. To Yahweh, saying, O Yahweh, host, God of Israel, who is enthroned above the cherubim, you are the God. You alone, of all the kingdoms of the earth, you have made heaven and earth. First thing he does in his prayer, this is a good sound advice for you and me. The first thing he does in his prayer is he acknowledges who God is. He reminds God, but really, he's reminding himself. First thing Jesus said to pray in the Sermon on the Mount, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. First thing is to magnify God. You know, you look out here across you look outside, God created all this. Yes. We're not talking about some false God. We're talking about the creator of heavens and the earth. And Hezekiah lays this out. You're God. You alone are God. Your ear, incline your ear, O Yahweh, and hear. Open up your ears. Open up your eyes, O Lord, and see. And hear. Open up your eyes, O Lord, and see. And listen to all the words of Sennacherib, who sent to reproach the living God. Truly, Yahweh, the kings of Assyria have devastated all the countries of their lands and have cast their gods into the fire, for they were not gods but the works of men's hands, wood and stone, so they have destroyed them. Now, O Yahweh, our God, deliver us from his hand, that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that you alone, Yahweh, are God. The reason he said, God, let them know you're God. You're real. All these other gods that they defeated them because they weren't God. But you are. And he lays this out. What else can he do? To give up or lay it out before God? Verse 21. Then Isaiah, the son of Amos, sent word to Hezekiah saying, thus says Yahweh, the God of Israel, because you have prayed to me about Sennacherib, king of Assyria, this is the word that Yahweh has spoken against him. And this is what God says to Sennacherib. She has despised you and mocked you, the virgin daughter of Zion. She has shaken her head against you, the daughter of Zion. Whom have you reproached and blasphemed, and against whom have you raised your voice and haughtily lifted up your eyes against the Holy One of Israel? Sennacherib got a little too full of himself. God is going about to remind him. Though your servants have reproached the Lord, and you have said, with my chariots I came up to the heights of the mountains, to the remotest parts of Lebanon, and I cut down the tallest cedars and choice cypresses, I will go to the highest peaks and thick forests, I dug wells and drank waters, and with the sole of my feet I dried up all the rivers of Egypt. Have you not heard? Long ago I did it. From ancient times I planned it, and I brought it to pass that you should run fortified cities into ruinous heaps. I told you you could do that. That's why you were able to do that. Therefore their inhabitants were short of distress. Verse 24, but I know you're sitting down and you're going out and you're coming in and you're raging against me. Because of your raging against me and because of your arrogance has come up against my ears. Therefore I will put a hook in your nose and a bridle in your lips and I will turn you back the way you came. You see, Sennacherib's about to learn he's not dealing with Hezekiah. He's dealing with Yahweh, the living God, creator of heaven and earth. Kind of like Pharaoh with the Egyptians when they dealt with Israel, right? And then this is to Hezekiah, verse 30. This shall be the sign for you, Hezekiah. You will eat this year what grows of itself, and the second year what springs up from the same, and the third year sow, reap, plant vineyards, and eat their fruit. Hezekiah, you're going to be planting vineyards. You're going to be planting seeds. You're going to be living on, and you're going to plant and grow and eat of what you plant. It's going to be taken care of. Verse 22, for out of Jerusalem will go forth a remnant, and out of Mount Zion survivors. The zeal of Yahweh of hosts will perform this. These remnant, these survivors that are with you in Jerusalem, they're going to replant. They're going to go back out, and they're going to be in this nation again. These survivors this remnant is going to survive and flourish again. That's the word to Hezekiah. Verse 33, therefore thus says Yahweh concerning the king of Assyria, he will not come into this city or shoot an arrow. He will not come before it, made with a shield or throw a siege trap against it. By the way he came, by the same way he will return. He will not come into this city, declares Yahweh. For I will defend this city to save it, my own sake, and for my servant David's sake. Hezekiah, don't worry. I got it taken care of. Assyria and all his armies, they're not coming into this city. They're not even going to send arrows up against it. They're not going to send siege ramps up against it. Well, how is this going to happen? Verse 36. Check this out. Then the angel of Yahweh went out and struck down 185,000 in the camp of the Assyrians. And when the men rose in the morning, behold, they were all dead. Wow. Battle over. Can you imagine that? All around Jerusalem. They wake up the night before, you hear the drum beat, you hear the noise in the camps, you hear the muttering, all the people are worried. You say you're preparing for battle, they're about ready to come in, they're all preparing. Hezekiah does this prayer, Isaiah gives them this prophecy, people are going to bed at night, they're a little concerned, what are we going to do? They wake up in the morning, everybody's dead. It's over. That's our God.
That's right.
That's God. And when a person is humble, and a person is meek, and a person is willing to put his trust in his life in Isaiah, in Yahweh, God will deliver. You know, we too, when we have troubles, we can mourn, we can repent of our sins. But have you ever been in a situation worse than this? You know what I mean? So you think your situation, maybe God can help you take care of it. Right? Whatever's going on in your life, maybe He's big enough. I think He is. Right? Amen?
Amen.
All right, I'll have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank You for being so good, God. And what an awesome, awesome time it is to look again at this prophet, this wonderful prophet Isaiah. God, to strengthen our faith with these things in Your scriptures, such as the man Hezekiah and this deliverance that came because they trusted, because he put his entire trust in You. God, I ask You that we also could have faith, that we could put our trust in You. God, today we confess our sins and give that to You and humble ourselves before You. God, You are so, so good to us. What a beautiful day You've given us that we could be out here and sing together and pray together, eat together, and get in Your Word together. Just, I'm so thankful this day. Thank You for this time in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thanks for listening. Visit us at lhim.org and subscribe to receive email updates so you won't miss out on new teachings, classes, and events. See you next week.